Along the roads of the rural highland of Guatemala, the machete hanging on the belts of men and the baby swaddled on the backs of women are as ubiquitous as the cell phone in Manhattan. The men wear t-shirts and jeans, but many women still wear the traditional colorful skirt and dress that identify to others their village and their native language. There are more than 24 indigenous Mayan languages spoken in the highlands that cut across the country. In this rural place, where on average women have more than 5 children, it's unexpected to encounter modern feminist ideals, and more surprising that the women practicing those ideals are living a rural life that revolves around coffee. Guatemala is the second biggest producer of coffee in Central America and part of a growing demand in the specialty coffee market. But it is also a country where 75% of the population lives in poverty, with a long history of violence, dictatorship, and coup d'etat. 200,000 people were killed in the 36-year civil war that ended in 1996. Most of those killed were indigenous people of the highland. Lesbia Morales grew up in the shadow of that war. A teenager when the war ended, there was no normal to go back to. For her, the struggle didn't go away.
Something my family used to say is if you weren't fighting for someone, life doesn't have meaning. If you're just vacationing and living a life of riches, what are you producing? What are you changing?
She became part of the CCDA, the Farmer Committee of the Highlands, an organization that grew out of the rebel armed forces during the height of the Civil War and organized indigenous farmers clandestinely. After the war, CCDA was recognized as a legitimate political group and used marches and rallies and lobbying to pressure the government to make good on the promises it made to the poor. But they soon realized that political action wasn't enough.
As time went on, we realized we couldn't just have marches and rallies when so many were hungry. Combining politics and economics is what I feel makes CCDA different. So we can contribute to and support the community.
And so CCDA began to work to create economic opportunity for the rural poor by helping the farmers form coffee cooperatives and find external markets for their crops, by offering microcredit, education on crop diversification, and on food and water security, while still fighting the government on land rights. For farmer members of CCDA, coffee was a crop that meant opportunity. 125 million people worldwide depend on coffee for their livelihoods. And yet smallholder coffee growers, who produce most of the world's coffee, are subject to a volatile price market, which few can withstand. By getting their members fair trade certified and getting them access to capital, CCDA helps them avoid the volatile open market and get a better price for their coffee. But for Lesbia Morales, there was something more. For her and others, CCDA was a place where women's roles could be reshaped.
Cuando se funda el CCDA, había mujeres también que estaban como miembros fundadoras.
When CCDA was founded, there were women founders too. And that, to me, is important. Some people say there's a change in women, but many don't see it. When I see a woman coming to a meeting, to me, it is a really big change, because to leave your house and go outside is difficult here.
Today, Lesbia is president of CCDA. She's traveled outside Guatemala to talk about the rights of the rural farmer, the importance of fair trade coffee, and the struggle to defend their land against government evictions. As the first female leader of this organization, she brings a new lens to the history and the struggle.
In this country and in Latin America, most women don't get to live up to their potential. Often we have good ideas and personal initiative, but we don't get the financial or training support needed to succeed.
CCDA members receive microloans in modest amounts to help with pre-harvest activity, like tree pruning, with purchasing inputs like seeds and organic fertilizer, with quality of life improvements in the home, such as cook stoves and solar panels, and to launch other businesses like poultry, which help with cash flow in the off-season. They loan to men and women, but they find women are a better investment.
En la cuestión de los créditos también, el 58% que reciben los créditos son mujeres.
58% of our loans go to women, 41% to men. The men might find this painful, but for the women, it's a satisfaction. Those who default on the loans are mostly men. Women are better at repaying. Both have the ability, but it's a question of responsibility.
But it's never that simple. In many households, just because the woman was able to get the loan doesn't mean she controlled it.
Many times credit was given to women, but they weren't necessarily the ones who used it. The husband would say, "Go, get the money and give it to me." And then he would decide how to spend it. Now, when we give the loan, we also work with the women so they have control over the credit. And it's not just men spending the money.
According to Lesbia, to make real change, the women need to be a part of public and political life.
Often women understand the situation inside the house, inside the kitchen, but not the country's political situation. In order to change a country and have women participate in that change, women need the education and the training for all that's coming.
Getting out of the kitchen is an age-old and uphill battle for women. But Lesbia, at least, has gotten herself out. How many follow her remains to be seen. This is Wesley Weisberg.